This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, folks. January 13th, 2026, the second day of the Helena Moreno administration. And it was a good day yesterday. Really enjoyed the inaugural activities. We had a lot of fun attending same and really enjoyed covering that with our WWL news director, Dave Cohen. And I think the energy in the room spoke for itself. People were very excited. I think they're ready to turn the page. Ready to have new leadership, a new approach, a fresh approach, all of the above. And it seems as though Ms. Moreno hit the ground running with a bunch of executive orders yesterday, outlining a bunch of different issues, a lot of it technical in nature, and having their press conference today with the Lights On initiative in New Orleans East. And I suspect that during the first 100 days, we will begin to see a lot of these, and then they will probably not be as many, which would be fine by me. And this is not a criticism. It's just I've never been one that likes to have 18 million press conferences about everything that we're doing. I was always one that just would rather do it and let people come to me and say, hey, we noticed this is going on, that's going on. What's up? Looks good. It's made a difference. We feel better. I think a lot of people are paying very close attention, and they're going to see every little single improvement that's going to be made out there by this administration 10 times over, which is the benefit of coming in as a change agent, so to speak, where they want to see change be made, not just for the sake of change, but meaningful change, utilizing credible leadership. And thus far, I think... the report card is that there's an A on both fronts, but actions speak louder than words, and we'll see how the execution of a lot of what has been talked about and identified as problems historically in the city. And this is not just under the Cantrell administration. She inherited a whole bunch of problems as well. And unfortunately, she was able to remediate, or fortunately, she was able to remediate some, but unfortunately, she was not able to remediate them all and became very combative. And I think the big issue, and this is one of the last times that I'll talk about this relative to the Cantrell administration, she's an activist. Activists approach things in a much different way than change agents, than people that just want to get in the trenches and manage through the problems, identify them, provide remedial action. They have a much different strategy. In fact, we're seeing some of this, and I'll use this to pivot to the next topic. We're seeing some of this relative to the immigration. Though the immigration activists are not going to go away. You're seeing more and more articles being written about this as to whether or not they're going to be diminished one way or the other. It's not happening. Because if that's their core belief, if that makes up a the center of their ideology. As an activist, what do you go speak on behalf of and try and influence if your core issue goes away? It's a huge problem. That's why they don't ever go away. They might go underground for a little while, but they're coming back. The next opportunity that they have to sensationalize one thing or another, they'll be back. And that's what we're seeing in Minneapolis today. And the elected officials there are falling prey to a lot of what's being said and done. I mean, I just find a level of hypocrisy just almost too much, right? And a lot of what they're doing is truly a bridge too far. You had the Attorney General, Keith Ellison, actually filed a lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security. You've had the mayor in Minneapolis talking about how this has been an overreach. This action has been too disproportionate. You're seeing 10, 15, 20, and he says up to 50 officers going to try to arrest one individual. But what he doesn't say, and you know, and he says that there are other ways that to bring about safety and security in his city of Minneapolis, and I would agree, there truly is. Honor ICE detainers. The roughly 400, 500, 600 that you have in jail right now, with criminal backgrounds, with criminal violations, some who've been sentenced, some awaiting trial, would much rather be deported. Turn them over. Then they don't have to go look for these people when you release them, because release, you know, 400 or 500, the number has been as high as 600. How does that contribute to the safety and security of the people in your city? It does not. You speak with tongue. And then they don't have to bring as many officers as well. If you would agree to allow the Minneapolis Police Department, the Minnesota State Police, and others to provide backup for the federal officials. You see, they're having to fulfill multiple functions because basically they're out there on an island on their own. They have to protect their front side. They have to protect their backside. We have the activists out there that you're willing to do little or nothing with. There are story after story after story of people calling in who have nothing to do with anything on this issue, who are being stopped and blocked on the main travel portion of the main arterial highways in Minneapolis and throughout Minnesota, begging local police to come out and move these people off the street so they can drive to go pick up their kids, they can drive to go to work, they can go about their business. But they feel like their safety is being compromised because you're not willing to do what's necessary because you fear whether or not that particular action is going to be characterized as assisting ICE. You are a damn coward. And nobody's talking about the risk that these men and women who take an oath to uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States, which is what this is, that you're not willing to support them, you're not willing to help them, you're just willing to sacrifice them. They are, in your view, an accepted casualty in the fight against illegal immigration. And that's what this is. That's what's outlined in the law. Is that this is a fight against illegal immigration. Plain and simple. Without a structure, without laws that will be enforced, that whole segment of laws is useless. Doesn't stand for anything. Doesn't mean anything. So what's next, if not this? What next group of activists are going to embrace some other body of law that they don't particularly like, that they are going to basically threaten and cajole public officials who are will not consume political capital, get all wrapped up in their ideological knot, and do nothing again? So then we could just chalk one up for another body of laws. So how many? How many times do we have to go down this path before we realize that we are on an incredibly slippery slope? If you want to affect change, you elect people to go to Congress that are willing to consume political capital, that are willing to take a stand, willing to band together, willing to compromise, and willing to reform whatever it is that you're trying to reform. Going out on the streets and throwing stuff at federal law enforcement officials, spitting on them, standing in their way, bum-rushing hotels because you believe that they may have rented some rooms to some federal law enforcement officials. And then what are you going to do when you get hurt, you get shot with pepper spray, paintballs or otherwise, or rubber bullets or whatever it may be that they're using? And then you're going to go out and talk to the media and complain after you violated innocent third parties' hotels, tried to gain access to their lobby, access to their room, so that you can go what? Challenge a federal law enforcement official? Really? But we don't hear anybody calling out this conduct, this behavior, and how contrary this is to just the principle of adhering to and honoring laws in this country. No, we've created a special class. Because this has become the social issue that's vogue. This was like the summer of love with the BLM riots. I mean, it's a repeat show. We've got NGOs, not-for-profits, abusing federal dollars, stealing money, defrauding the taxpayers in both cases, defrauding contributors to 501c3s, buying houses in the Caribbean, living the lifestyles of the rich and famous, doing nothing as it relates to the primary mission of BLM. The same thing here as it relates to these immigrant groups. And we just rewind. Let's watch the show all over. When are we going to learn that none of this is going to actually work? So Ellison files a lawsuit and he complains that this violates the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment is simply that the federal government can't really compel, just try to simplify this, state government to do things and administer federal regulatory programs or things of that nature, federal laws, unless otherwise stated in the Constitution. Now, a lot of people go grab the Constitution and they read the words and they say, you see, it's right here. But they don't look at any of the case law of the U.S. Supreme Court. That kind of changes things as it relates to enumerated powers of the federal government and things of that nature. The Constitution doesn't specifically mention immigration, right? It mentions naturalization. But over the years, there's been a series of cases that have moved through the Supreme Court, and the court has consistently said that immigration is a federal power, otherwise known as a plenary power, and therefore it is reserved to the federal government. Some states attack that, trying to be able to enforce immigration laws. And these same people that are out in the streets in Minneapolis fought that, right? They fought that as well, because they said the federal government's the only one that can do it. Now they're saying the federal government shouldn't do it, and they want to abolish ICE. They don't want any immigration laws. They don't want any immigration enforcement. And we really believe that that's going to be the path to someplace really special. We're having a difficult time providing for the population that we have now. We have an overrepresentation of individuals that live within the lower socioeconomic groups of this country. It's a fact. But for whatever reason, we can't come to grips with that, and we think that somebody's got a big fat paycheck somewhere to be able to finance all of this, which is not in the best interest of this country. Ellison goes on to say that there's all kinds of administrative procedure acts that are violated here, the equal sovereignty under the violation of equal sovereignty under the U.S. Constitution, violation of the First Amendment, unconstitutional retaliation in violation of the First Amendment, all kinds of things he throws in here. It's just a plethora, a jambalaya of claims. It's all gobbledygook, and it's all just showcasing and trying to tie the hands of federal authorities. And it's not going to work. They're wasting taxpayer dollars, more Minnesota money being thrown, out there, thrown away, not for any legitimate purpose at all. Then we have the mayor. Now, this guy is completely off the rails, right? He's talking about how everything is disproportionate. Well, I just outlined why. You're not honoring detainers. You're not assisting when there's a call for help, when, you know, they're outnumbered by the protesters. They're being pummeled with all kinds of objects, their federal properties being damaged. They're trying to break into buildings. They're breaking into hotels. There was a reporter the other day who was trying to go down the street. They blocked his vehicle. They started beating on his vehicle. He's pleading and begging 911 to send somebody, and they won't send anybody out. Well, you've obviously made your position loud and clear. Federal authorities, you're on your own. There are no others. So think about this, and let's just state the obvious for a second. When you send that message, what would you anticipate the reaction to be? More people and more firepower. I know that in your simple mind, you really believe that those words are so threatening to the federal government that they're going to be so intimidated by you cursing at the podium and telling them to get the F out and this and that and everything else, that they're shaking in their boots and that they're going to run back to immigration headquarters inside the Beltway in D.C., never to visit Minneapolis or Minnesota again. You need to put those fairy tale books away and understand that's not going to happen. You are not going to intimidate federal law enforcement officials. They give in one, the show is done for them forever. Study history a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, you'll understand human nature just a little bit more clearly. So you've sent the message they are on their own. I could tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'd make the same decision. More firepower, more people. So we'll protect our own. We'll become more strategic in how we are going to selectively incapacitate the impact illegal immigrant that has a criminal record. And yes, you might see 25 officers show up at a scene. Not unlike when we go out to arrest a violent drug criminal on the streets. You may see 25 officers on a scene. Of course, that's against a citizen. So that's not as obnoxious to these activists as it is going against an illegal immigrant. I mean, that's basically where we find ourselves here. You can see some of the same strategies deployed against our own citizens. We keep hearing, you're separating families. Every time we make an arrest of an individual who has a wife, a common law, kids, or otherwise, what in the hell do you think's happening? You're separating a family. If that was the consideration, there would be little to no arrest made in this country ever. But for some unknown reason to me, this has taken a heightened level of importance when it comes to immigration. And what I can't figure out is what is so special about this class of people that they should have these additional rights over and above the rights that we have as U.S. citizens. It is absolutely crazy to me when I hear what people are talking about. U.S. citizens are at a disadvantage. No free phones, no free money, no free trips, no free hotels, no free anything. When they find themselves in similar circumstances, in fact, they are burdened with a birth certificate that says that they were born in the U.S. and that they are a card-carrying member of the United States. It is a burden. It is a burden to be born. Because now there's this assumption, and you just need to look at what's going on in New York with Mamdani and his crazy housing director of, you know, property rights. It's got to be for the collective good. What are you talking about? There's a lot of similarities in what's happening right now with the collective good argument relative to citizens versus illegals and how this is working. We have the church now preaching to us about morality. Really? A lot of what's going on in this country is because of the church and because of the programs that they participated in, and they were paid very handsomely to deal with these issues in bringing individuals to this country and locating them in certain positions, a la the Somalis in Minnesota. We're talking about taking care of our brothers and sisters, and I would love to see the expenditure list of the United States Catholic Church and how much money they're actually spending of their own money taking care of these people, not as a pass-through organization, an NGO, a non-governmental organization, being paid to give them somebody else's money. I will not be preached to about the morality of this issue by folks that aren't putting their money where their mouth is. We better wake up here real, real soon. Because this place that we call home, if this continues going down this path, you are not going to recognize it. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Matthew Willard, New Orleans City Councilman at Large, Division 1. One day under your belt, Matt, how does it feel?
Hey, Newell, good morning. Feels good. You know, I'm optimistic about our city's future, but certainly cognizant of the choppy waters that we have ahead of us.
Matt, you made a couple of comments on the eve of the inauguration that I thought were very interesting. The first is you said we need a cultural reboot within City Hall. What brought you to that perspective? Tell us about it.
You know, just interactions with people who work in City Hall and in various departments, and feedback really largely driven by feedback that I've received from the community. People understand that sometimes a process will be difficult, but if that information is conveyed in a way that is, you know, polite and nice and pleasant, it makes your experience a little bit different. And so my big goal as it relates to culture inside of City Hall is that I want everybody to feel excited and proud to say that they work for the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, you made an observation that it was also very interesting, and I'll just quote you. You said, "One thing I never understood, still don't understand, is why a person in my legislative district or anywhere in the city of New Orleans has to reach out to me to get a pothole repaired or to get a street light replaced or to get a new trash can when they've been reaching out to the department in 311 for weeks or months. Then all of a sudden they reach out to me and suddenly it happens in a more expedition fashion." I guess that's part of that culture you're saying that needs to be changed, right?
Absolutely. Look, if a resident of New Orleans reaches out to a department, say their street light has been off for a few weeks, and they reach out and they put in a 311 ticket, I think a way to reboot our city's efforts is to have kind of a system that says your request has been received. Here's an estimated time of when the light will be replaced. And then have like interval check-ins, right? We're a week away from your expected, you know, timeline of replacing this light. Or, you know, if it can't be done on time, send out an automated message saying, "Hey, we're backed up. We are delayed. We will get to this light as soon as we can. The new estimated timeline is in 2 weeks." You know, just, and there's softwares and programs that will automate stuff like that. And I think the lack of communication that comes from City Hall to the residents is a big point that needs to be resolved. And for me, you know, I stand by what I said, Newell. I still don't understand why if somebody reaches out to me, their issue can be resolved in a timely fashion, whereas if they go through the proper channels, 311, reaching out to the email for the department, it's a waiting game. And, you know, it seems like it goes into a black hole, and they just don't get updates. And that's not right to the people of New Orleans.
We're speaking with Matthew Willard, New Orleans City Council at Large, Division 1. Matthew, I've been told that you're an empirical data guy. Does this mean that you're going to be advocating for performance matrices so that you can gain a better understanding of why when people call the normal channel that things just don't get answered?
Look, it's not only figuring out what's the holdup, why people don't receive this timely communication, but we also need to use that data to set benchmarks, right? We all campaigned this election cycle talking about how important it is to have superior city services. And if we don't use that data, if we don't track it, if we don't monitor it, then we can't tell if we're actually moving the ball forward. And so, you know, for me, it will be something where I'm looking for communication breakdowns and how we can improve that. For me, it will be what data are we collecting? How do we use that data? Are we using it to improve our day-to-day operations? One thing about me, Newell, I work for a tech company. We're an analytics company. We do project management through a Scrum structure. And mm-hmm. in Scrum, you're always looking for those incremental improvements. You break down major projects by smaller goals so that you can always report updates and progress on that project. And so I'll bring that same approach inside of City Hall.
Well, Matt, I didn't know that about you, but now I know why you're an empirical data guy. That's perfect. it makes perfect sense. And to lead into one other question I had, it makes even more sense. You have been you have been hyper-focused on the loss of population and the decline in population in the city of New Orleans. And obviously, you're connecting the dots as to what that means.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Newell, I can't overestimate how important the population loss is. And it's one of those issues that you probably can't address with one policy or one turnaround in a department. But it is probably the biggest threat to the city of New Orleans right now, because everything that Mayor Moreno talked about yesterday, everything that the city council discussed yesterday, becomes exponentially more difficult when we're losing population because our tax base continuously erodes, which means we'll continue trying to squeeze a dollar out of every penny from the people of New Orleans. And you know what they're doing, Newell? They're voting and moving with their feet. And we can't have that. New Orleans, to me, is the greatest city in the country by far, one of the best cities in the world. We need to make sure it feels like that for everybody who calls New Orleans home 24/7.
So, Matt, as you know, as the council proceeds forward, what are the three most important issues for you on your agenda? And you know, you're elected at large, so you represent the entire city.
Yes. So number one, I would say those city services, we at least need to get to a baseline of where people in the city feel like they're getting their tax dollars worth. And right now, far too many people do not feel that. Number two for me would also be infrastructure. When I was campaigning, I said everybody is on their last straw, right, Newell? So they could wake up, be having a difficult day. They drive down their street to get to work. They hit that same pothole that's been there for a year, and they say, you know, enough is enough. I'm moving. And then number three for me would be economic development, community development, and jobs. If we want to rebuild that population, we have to have good, high-paying jobs that attract people to the city of New Orleans. So those would probably be my three top priorities in the city right now.
Yeah. There seems to be, I don't know how to describe it because it's early onset, but there's a lot of, I guess, mutual respect amongst the council members for each other. Y'all are familiar with one another because of your background and where you've served as an elected official. And it just seems to be more at ease and a comfort level there. Your thoughts?
Yes. Absolutely. People across the city are optimistic. I received so many messages yesterday of people saying how excited they were for the potential of change in the city of New Orleans. But a lot of those messages were also accompanied with a message saying, you know, but we're going to hold you accountable. And we hope that you can deliver on your promises. And I hope you can meet expectations. I think we're in a great position. I think we have one of the best teams assembled at this moment to deal with these difficult times. You know, you have three new council members, myself and my former seatmate, Councilmember Jason Hughes, are coming from the legislature. So obviously we've worked with the council. Obviously we've worked with Mayor Moreno on different policies in the past. And then our third new member is Councilmember Amy McCarron, who served as former Councilmember Joe Geruso's budget staffer. And so she has a wealth of information for the council, for the city's budget, most importantly, and navigating the departments in City Hall. So we don't really have any newbies coming in. And obviously, you know, Mayor Moreno has a wealth of information and knowledge and relationships at the state level, which we desperately need right now. And myself and Councilmember Hughes can also help support, and Councilmember Morrell, Council President Morrell, can help at the state level as well. So I really do believe, Newell, that we have the best team to face this moment.
So, Matt, 2 days, not quite two full days in, have you had, in leading up to the inauguration or since, this kind of somebody sharing some information with you, and you've had this "are you kidding me" moment yet?
A lot of those moments as it related to the budget, a lot of those moments as it related to unclassified positions that were created in the executive administration office. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a whirlwind. Some head scratcher moments for sure, but we'll turn things around.
Hey, on those head-scratching moments, I would just remind you, and this is advice from someone that served as well, change hands, because you'll get a ball spot.
That is solid advice, and I will certainly pay heed to that.
Well, Matt, we know you're busy today. We thank you for joining us. Matthew Willard, New Orleans City Council at Large, Division 1. Congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you so much, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
On a text line, folks, if New Orleans can't get it done with this mayor and council, then it will never get it done. This seems to be the best and brightest council and mayor we ever had that is willing to work together to fix New Orleans. Another texter says, Newell, my wife and I are 69 years old. We lived in NOLA, Lakeview, all of our lives until 4 years ago when we moved to Metairie. The young family across the street from our home in Lakeview had their truck broken into four times in a short time. Taxes went up drastically, as well as utilities. The move to Metairie has been a culture shock, as the way things should be. Too old to go back. I do hope, though, NOLA can turn things around. And I think a lot of people feel that same way. They want the city to be successful. They want the city to be able to turn around. They want to be able to speak with pride about the city. Everyone identifies with the city, quite frankly. And as the city goes, we all go. The tide rises for all. We have to have a more symbiotic relationship. That's one of the things I'm most excited about. Saw a bunch of parish presidents at the inauguration. That speaks volumes, right? Having someone that's open and receptive to conversations and moving forward, willing to share the podium, the time, and talk about issues. I think you're going to see more of that as well, which is good for our city, for our area. It's really good because, you know, just like crime knows no geographic boundary, the economy doesn't really know that geographic boundary either. It's the region that succeeds. It's the region that fails. There are nuances. In fact, we're going to talk about one of those nuances when we come back after the top of the hour news break. We're going to meet with Sheriff Joe LoPinto, and his crime stats are out for 2025, and they are compelling. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Sheriff Joe LoPinto, Jefferson Parish Sheriff, talk about 2025 crime stats. Which NFL fan bases are the most political? There's a new study out, and we'll talk about that as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.